Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of managing managers, growing leaders in a time of change. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and thought leader, the fabulous Lori Snyder, Director of People Operations with Red Peak. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you. What a nice intro. I'm so excited to be here today.
Well, excited to have you and followed your career over the years. You certainly, you know, have had, and we're going to talk a little bit in the final segment about your journey into multifamily, but with your background as a consultant and working in the industry for so many years, the knowledge and the expertise that you're going to share today with our audience, I think they're going to gain a lot from. So managing managers, growing leaders in a time of change, kind of give me your 40,000 foot view of what that entails.
Well, I mean, I think today, you know, we, especially at the on-site level, you know, we have community managers, multi-site managers, regional managers, et cetera. And, you know, I think COVID really sort of jumbled everything up and then add some tech on top of all of it, right? And suddenly we have managers of whom we're expecting quite a bit and expecting to learn an awful lot in the onboarding process. And I think what's happening is we're ending up, at least with the people that I'm speaking with, you know, across the country, with people who are really stressed out and managers who may not be where they, where we need them to be. You know, one thing that I can say is that at the apartmentalized session that I conducted this last June, Kara Rice, was talking in her session about that one third of managers today are actually working short staffed. You know, think about that for a minute. One third of our managers at any given time are short staffed today. So they're dealing with short staffing. We're expecting more for them from them. We have a tech stack that's, you know, two pages long. And so we have to start simplifying what we need in the managers and then help them to deliver it. When I think about a situation that I've had on my own, we really sat down at one point and thought about what we needed from our managers at Red Peak. And then we decided, you know what, we got to focus on helping these managers build their business acumen. And so that's what we did for the year. And, you know, everything that we did from our leadership retreat on through focused on helping them better understand business acumen. So I think one of the things we're doing is we're actually making assumptions about what managers today already know. And I think we got to back up the train a little bit on that and help them understand what we need from them, as well as when you look at what businesses need today, you know, I think problem solving is a really big skill that, well, actually, the World Economic Forum, they listed that 5 out of 10 skills most needed by managers in 2025 are problem solving related. So, you know, are we focusing on problem solving? And are we focusing on building that business acumen? You know, are we focusing on, you know, helping them be better communicators, right? Because when we look at how much they have to do today, it's overwhelming for us to even teach. I'm in learning and development. How do you teach 2 pages of tech stack to people? So yeah, I think
you're absolutely right.
Right? So I think we have to really simplify and really decide, okay, we are going to help our managers because our managers are the ones that are managing managers, and our managers are managing supervisors, and our managers, if they're all stressed out, aren't building the bench the way that they need to be. So that's where we're focused. We have basically focused on 4 areas, and it's that problem solving piece, the business acumen piece, helping them be better coaches and communicators and building those two expertise as well.
Yeah, you know, my father used to always tell me, and I've shared this on the show before, that when you're thinking about perception, that it doesn't matter what you think people think, it only matters what they really think. And I think that could be applied to what you said about it doesn't matter what you think people know, it only matters what they really know. And so if you're making assumptions that they know something that they really don't, it's kind of putting you behind the eight ball from the beginning. And, you know, you mentioned Kara Rice. She's been a guest on our show several times, and she always brings a receipt. Obviously, with all the research they do at Swift Bunny, you can really learn a lot from those surveys that they do. Talk a little bit about, I'm curious, because you said you concentrated on the business acumen side of it and so forth, and at your leadership retreats and so forth. Well, how was that received by the people? Because I would imagine that's something completely different than what they're used to in past years and so forth. You're really kind of taking them in a direction that maybe no one's touched on really.
Well, yeah. And really when we sat down and we were talking about, you know, there are so many ways to play the game in multifamily, right? Like you can choose A, you can choose B strategy, you can choose C strategy, depending on what you need and what what your goals are for the organization. And I think we were lacking a little bit of that. It was just like kind of that rote, this is what I do, right? Rather than if I do A, how does it affect B? How does it affect C? And can I make money? So what we actually did was we started with, we brought in Rich George. Are you familiar with Rich?
Oh, sure.
He's great.
I know Rich well.
He's the NOI coach, right? So we brought in Rich and we had him focus on just helping people understand the value of the dollar, you know, and really understanding, you know, NOI and what that really meant. And it was, I'm going to tell you, Paul, it was so well received. People's eyes were so open. And you know where I was really surprised was how enthralled and interested our service supervisors were and how just understanding the basic principles of that business, right? And how to maneuver, right? It was, they had the best ideas and watching those light bulbs go off, it was fabulous. It was fabulous.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
That was the start, but then we had to take it all the way through. And we actually had individual coaching opportunities for each of our managers. We encouraged them and helped and coached them in helping their people understand the principles of NOI. We had a big budget boot camp where we brought in and we had everybody develop a strategy for their community and be able to reflect and really articulate why that strategy was going, how that strategy was going to affect the bottom line. And so helping people think strategically and problem solve is incredibly important to their growth. It's things that we sort of learned organically back in the day, right? And I think that today a focus on that will really drive that leadership growth.
We've got about 2 minutes left in this segment. And you mentioned teaching problem solving. I've found over the years that I've come across people who just are inherently good at problem solving. It's part of their DNA. And then other people's who really just have to follow a script and they go by the book or whatever the book says to do. How did you deal with that with all the different people within the organization? What did you teach them?
Well, I mean, I think it's an ongoing process, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things that we're doing is we're taking high potentials and we actually have them on a leadership plan. And in the plan, they have to solve their own problem by adding to that plan and executing on it. So I believe that people, you know, if you help them to say, okay, you have A, B, or C choice, what makes the most sense to you? And have you considered the consequences and the opportunity in each of these choices? I think the other thing we've done is we've really helped our managers, ensuring that their people come to them with solutions, not just problems. Because it's super easy to lead through, isn't it? Isn't it? Like you can tell people what to do, right? Mm-hmm. And then they go tell people what to do, but you're not leading, you're leading through.
Right.
Real leading is about helping people discover the solution themselves, because then they own it. I don't know if that answered your question or not, but it's more of a mindset than it is anything else in helping people understand what it looks like to actually coach people and communicate with people and help them solve their own problems.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That does. I'll tell you what, we're going to break it here. We are going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Still using the Public Housing Authority's utility allowance? Plumbers, Water, and Energy Efficiency Team can develop a custom allowance model to boost your bottom line and help pay for upgrades. Plumber partners with affordable housing providers across the country. With over 1,000 successful custom utility allowance models, they know how to make the business case for efficiency. They can also help you with green building certifications, upgrades, and more. Learn about their no-risk guarantee and how they can help you at plumber.com. That's plumer.com.
Is your multifamily property still on clunky mechanical locks or managing multiple systems for electronic locks? There's a better way to manage your property's access. Zintra is a single system to manage unit, perimeter, and amenity spaces for your multifamily property. Zintra is designed for property and maintenance staff who are overwhelmed and need a system that works from the leasing office to on the go with the Zintra mobile app. Whether you're a leasing agent handling a move-in, a property manager generating reports, or maintenance staff accessing a work order, Zintra will handle your access needs simply and securely. Zintra is paired with Schlage's world-class line of hardware and is now the first to be able to offer Resident Key in Apple Wallet as a solution for tap-and-go entry to all access points on your property with an iPhone or Apple Watch. With Zintra, you don't have to sacrifice between a world-class experience for your residents and decreasing the workload on your staff. Zintra is quick, simple, and secure enough to handle all your multifamily property's access needs. To get started, visit Zintra.co. Zentra.co. Zintra.co. Or contact your Allegion representative.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Well, we're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of managing managers, growing leaders in a time of change. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and a thought leader in the industry, the amazing Lori Schneider, Director of People Operations at Red Peak. Before we get back into the conversation, I want to remind our listeners, if you'd like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So Lori, in the first segment, we talked a little bit about what we need from today's manager, including problem solving, business acumen, so forth. Talk a little bit to us about what do they need from us?
Well, it's interesting because in the surveys that were done, and going back to Swift Bunny, basically it's showing that they really want trust and additional support. So basically, I think if you could say it as trust and time, they need trust and time. And I think it's interesting because with all of the automations that we have today, you know, people want that human help. And I think they also want to know where they stand, and particularly with younger generations. And here's the problem is that when we don't have good communicators, one of the areas that they're most usually uncomfortable with is feedback, particularly critical feedback, right? And so I think that in formulating a strategy for your organization in how to help your managers be better, it's important that we really focus on those communication skills and helping people with the right words, how to deliver effective feedback. You know, for example, I think one of the mistakes that we make is we have all this feedback and we write it down. And then like once every 3 months, we do a feedback dump on people. Mm-hmm. And then it's past tense. You know, the best kind of feedback is right then or right there. Telling people what the action was, what happened, how they handled it well, how they might have handled it better. And this is how to help you be better in your journey, right? The minute you leave mm-hmm. that meeting with somebody, offer them that feedback, because feedback becomes easy if it becomes routine. The challenge we have with feedback is I have to sit down with them in a one-on-one. I have to do all these things. I have to talk to them about this. That's not it. You got to create a culture of open feedback within your organization. And some of my direct reports might say, oh yeah, she's direct. She's direct, but they know where they stand and they know that my feedback is always there to help them be better. And that's really the key, you know? So how do you provide that feedback and how do you help your people grow? Because when they talk about trust and time, I think sometimes we think it's always got to be all about us, right? It's always got to be all about us. One of the things and how we're leading them, but I don't know that that's necessarily true. I think people today really need that direction and that support. And we have to get creative in how we challenge them. So, for example, if I'm a supervisor, and I am, okay, yesterday I had this conversation. And one of the things that I talk to my people about is, have you found your tribe? Have you found your tribe of people outside of our company that you can turn to at any given time? Because how important is that, Paul, right? Like, it's so important. Have you found your tribe? And you've got to grow your tribe. And here are some things that you can do to ensure that that's happening and that you're in those opportunities to be able to grow your tribe and meet new people. And then you follow up. So you're not actually doing the work, but it's all about support. It's all about helping them, and then providing your time and your thoughts in helping them get better. And trust is a big deal. I mean, I always say trust but verify.
Yeah, I know trust is big, and I was going to ask you how does that play into it, and how do you let them know that trust is there?
One of the things that I think is super important is that when people bring you a challenge, that they have three solutions, mm-hmm. and then help them work through those solutions. Which one's the best choice in your mind? That's helping them grow. It's also showing that you trust them to make good decisions and then step back. I think the biggest mistake I make that I see made is people just telling people what to do because they're moving too fast. Mm-hmm. Just go do this. Just go do this rather than asking questions. Stop and ask the questions. What do you think you should do in this situation? That's helping people learn and grow. And they're never going to get there if you're just telling them what to do. If you have people that persistently come up to you and say, what do you want me to do about this? They're not growing. They're just answering to whatever you want them to do.
If I understood what you said correctly, that what you're recommending is when someone has a challenge, they should come to the supervisor and say, I got three potential solutions. And then you help them work through which ones. That's great. That's a great idea.
Right. And they may all be bad. Who knows, right? Let them work through it and let them discover why they're not good or why they all three might be viable.
Yeah, that makes great sense. Talk about, you know, communication is so important. And I want to kind of piggyback that on one thing you said earlier about the younger managers don't have a problem with, you know, having criticism and so forth or feedback. You know, I'm a baby boomer and technologically challenged, and I'm sure you have managers and have worked with managers at different levels, all different age spectrums and generational spectrums and so forth. Do you find that you have to work with those different generations in different ways, or is it something that you can kind of have a rubber stamp across the board?
I think somewhat. I think that some of the older, I'm on the cusp of the baby boom, right? So I think that as people age, they tend to learn differently. And so it's important to understand that what one person brings to the table could be because of their age and wisdom, and they may have some difficulty in other areas, right? But then you look at it, Paul. So if you're a baby boomer, you have literally adapted to so much change in your life. And you will acknowledge for me, I'm sure, that you remember when the fax machine was invented.
I do.
Right? It was a game changer.
Exactly.
Right? Right? And so you've gone from, I would say, I've gone from like hand typing 3-day notices. With little whiteout, you know. And so when you think about that, like the people that are a little bit older actually probably will more easily adapt to change if you're patient with it. And that's the key. You know, so take your time in rolling out some of these things and understand that it takes 7 times for somebody to learn something.
Wow.
So they have to see it and repeat it and look at it 7 times before you can be assured that learning transfer has happened. So, yeah, well, when we get busy, we're like, look what we're doing. Yay. You know, and we roll this thing out, and then we wonder why there's the great resistance. Right. And then there's just all these workarounds that happen around it. It's because we're not taking that into consideration and understanding that everyone learns very differently and providing different ways for them to adapt.
Makes sense.
You know, I mean, I give good advice to some of the people in our tech industries. And, you know, I've said, I think it would be very good for many of these companies that these tech developers to actually have somebody that's a learning and development specialist on their team, because, you know, what they consider to be a rollout is more like a demonstration of the product. It's not how to use it.
Exactly.
So I think it's really about patience and really considering a personalized approach to people.
We've got about a minute left, and can you give us an example of what you would think would be the proper way to give that critical feedback, or what are the things you would want to do to make sure? Yeah.
Sure. I will give you a good example of something that happened, because I'm sure she would not mind. So if we are in a meeting, for example, and I see somebody perhaps not exhibit the executive presence that I would hope. Okay. But they don't know what they don't know. Right. And so maybe they approach something, in a way that is a little too elementary, or maybe it's their body language that was a little too casual. Right. If that's the case, what I would do at that time is I'd walk the minute we left the meeting, and I would say, I really liked your content. I thought it was really good. Your execution, we're going to work on that, because I think that you can be more effective if you learn how to communicate these ideas at a higher level. And usually they'll say yes, because it's all about them, right?
Right, right.
You did great. You did great. Or your body language was indicating that you were really nervous.
Yeah.
Or when you say, per my opinion, that's diminishing you, right? Like, or whatever it is. So it's really about helping them understand these little habits that we pick up, or our nervous habits, et cetera, are hurting your overall message. So let's practice a different way.
Great advice. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to be back after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Welcome to the future of property management with Two Dots, the revolutionary platform that transforms how you verify income and identity while stopping fraud in its tracks. Manual reviews are slow, error-prone, and risky. Two Dots automates verification with advanced AI that instantly detects fake documents, and our team handles the follow-ups so your leasing agents don't have to. Save 1.5 hours per applicant, minimize legal risk, and unlock up to $300 in additional NOI per unit annually. But don't take our word for it. We'll test all of your previous applications for fraud free in just 15 minutes to show you what you missed. Say goodbye to bad debt and hello to smarter, faster leasing with Two Dots. Visit us at twodots.net. That's TWODOTS.net and see for yourself today.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Is your multifamily property still on clunky mechanical locks or managing multiple systems for electronic locks? There's a better way to manage your property's access. Zintra is a single system to manage unit, perimeter, and amenity spaces for your multifamily property. Zintra is designed for property and maintenance staff who are overwhelmed and need a system that works from the leasing office to on the go with the Zintra mobile app. Whether you're a leasing agent handling a move-in, a property manager generating reports, or maintenance staff accessing a work order, Zintra will handle your access needs simply and securely. Zintra is paired with Schlage's world-class line of hardware and is now the first to be able to offer Resident Key in Apple Wallet as a solution for tap-and-go entry to all access points on your property with an iPhone or Apple Watch. With Zintra, you don't have to sacrifice between a world-class experience for your residents and decreasing the workload on your staff. Zintra is quick, simple, and secure enough to handle all your multifamily property's access needs. To get started, visit Zintra.co. Zentra.co. Zintra.co. Or contact your Allegion representative.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We're discussing the topic of managing managers, growing leaders, and a time of change. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and an industry thought leader, the fantastic Lori Snyder, Director of People Operations at Red Peak. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Plumber, boost your bottom line with custom utility allowance models. Zentra, a seamless security solution designed to solve the everyday problems of shared property access. Zentra is the convergence of exceptional security and convenience. And Two Dots, the only true all-in-one fraud prevention and underwriting solution for multifamily, trusted by six of the NMHC top 10. So, Lori, in the first segment, we talked about what do we need from our managers. In the second segment, we talked about what do they need from us. Now let's talk about addressing and breaking through growth roadblocks. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think some of the things we have to think about, when I go back to that Capturo study that I was reading the other day, it indicated that almost like half of people were promoted, not because of their skill, but because basically they were there. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think we have to start thinking about, first of all, if we don't want roadblocks, we have to promote people that have the skill set. We don't just assume that because somebody has been an assistant manager for a year and a half, they should be promoted to a manager. I've seen that happen. Well, it's the Peter principle in action, right?
Sure.
And you've seen this in your career as well, right?
Right.
And so we want to make sure, first of all, that we're promoting the right people that actually want to be managing and that have the skill set. It's a special skill set and that have the skill set to do it. I think many people, if you ask, what does the manager do all day? They would say reports, when in fact they should be managing people.
Mm-hmm.
And most of it, as you know, 80% of it is like people. So we want to make sure that that's there. But then I often hear from regional managers and portfolio directors, man, you know, I mean, it's so hard to find the time. And so we have to allocate time for learning and helping people grow. And I think in some ways we can get creative with that. You know, I have a manager right now on a leadership plan. One of the things they are supposed to do is join a committee at the Apartment Association of Metro Denver, right? One of the things that they are supposed to do is attend a strategic staff meeting in the home office so they can see what it looks like from a global perspective. And how people think a little more globally, right, in different parts of the organization. And then, of course, there are the usuals, you know, like one-on-ones and those kinds of things. But I think we have to get creative in many ways today and give people the keys to their own growth, provide those opportunities, but then have them do it. I am not developing anybody if I'm making them do something, right? Mm-hmm. It's the old, if you have to lead a horse to water.
Exactly.
Right. You can't make them drink it. So I want them flourishing and growing. And so we come up with these leadership plans together. Say, how do you feel about this? You feel good? Yep. Okay. And then from there, they're on their own to deliver with check-ins as to how it's going. Right. I think also going back to when we start thinking about roadblocks, because there's so much to learn. There's so many systems to check and verify that they know what they're doing. There's so much, right? So I think to simplify it back down to focus on those four areas. Are you focusing on those four areas with everything you're doing with your people? Are you practicing problem solving? Are you having them bring solutions to you? Are you focusing on business acumen? Are you checking things? Are you asking about, you know, smart NOI strategy, right? Are we having them think through a plan at their communities? And then the coaching and communication expertise that can be supplemented in many ways through like LinkedIn Learning. Another thing, oh, this is a great idea. So HBR, Harvard Business Review, has a podcast. And off the top of my head, I cannot remember what the name of the podcast is, but it's like a leadership podcast. And so I was listening to it the other day, and you know, it's incredible because it takes little nuggets of leadership and it just dissects it. And we talk about it in the podcast and on it goes. And so you could literally listen to one of those for 20 minutes on your walk in the morning, assign it to your people, discuss it in a one-on-one, say, practice this week, and then turn around and come back and see how the follow-through went. So it's not about the amount of time. It's about getting smart and integrating coaching moments within your organization. How do we do that?
You know, in the first segment, you mentioned the study or that Kara Rice in her session was talking about how people feel like they're overworked and it might not have the support and so forth. How do you get somebody to buy in or to change, I guess, that mental framework they have of they're overworked and so busy to be able to work these plans? What do you tell them to, because it seems like they might say, well, I don't have time to do that. I've got all these reports I've got to do and so forth. Maybe not, they may not say that to you, but they may be thinking that. So how do you get over that hurdle?
Well, I think one of the things that we have to do a better job of is helping people with time management. Mm-hmm. And this is my challenge too, right? But I think we have to address that overwhelm. And really, I think there's two areas. I think it's time management, and I think it's addressing the overwhelm. And so when we think about the overwhelm, those are the areas I think we should be looking at AI for. How do we address those that overwhelm so that we can focus more on the people, whether it's residents, whether it's team, you know, how do we help our managers focus more on the people? And then make sure that when they say they're overwhelmed, I think it's important to really take a look at job descriptions today, because job descriptions have changed so much over the last, 5 years. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, that many times people are in roles and they're doing things that aren't even in their job description. And so really start to think about those JDs and what do we need? What's important? How has this role changed? And what do we expect? What do we expect out of it? And then going back to that whole, really think about promoting based on potential rather than that performance. Because I think when we get that overwhelm, sometimes I think that that skill set may not be aligned to the actual job.
Yeah,
so
we've got
those are the three things I would say.
We've got about 3 minutes left. Talk a little bit about alignment and why that's so important and what you're doing with that.
Well, we're working really hard to make sure that what we say is happening is actually going to happen to them. Right? Mm-hmm. So you know what I'm saying? This is what the job is, and this is what you can expect, to be as clear as possible. You know, it was funny when you were talking about Kara Rice, it was so funny because one of the things that was that in her session that was so good at Departmentalize, they were talking about how, you know, don't lie to people. And, you know, don't tell them that you have 250 work orders sitting there, right? You don't want to not tell them that. And then they walk into the role and there's 250 work orders sitting there, right?
Right.
You want to make sure that they understand what to expect. I like a try it before you buy it with a manager, honestly, a little bit. Try this for a couple of months. Let's see how you do. We'll put you in a temporary supervisory position. Let's see how you like it. And then offer other opportunities. So we want to provide opportunity for them to be able to go into other areas, whether it's sales, whether it's, you know, possibly, I don't know, centralize something, right, that they can do if they don't want to manage. Because that's not a skill set meant for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
It's a tough job. It's a fun job for the right people.
Yeah, and I've had many conversations with people over the years that had started out, you know, in a leasing position and got bumped into an assistant manager role and just hated it. They'd rather be out selling and marketing and being kind of the face of the community than having to do the work behind the scenes like that. So they have to be right for the role, I guess.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And I think that's important. And then the other thing I think also, you know, in building a coaching culture, you got to think about, like, somebody grew you, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody grew you. And what did it take to do that? And how grateful are you today that they took the time to invest in you?
Exactly.
So, you know, I've had many mentors in my world that have taken time and have shared with me and have, you know, helped me to be a better person. And so are we doing that? Because that's probably why we got in this business in the first place, is to help people.
Exactly. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we are going to be back with our final segment right after this break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book Rev's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let Rev drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let Rev be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today.
Managing multifamily assets shouldn't mean juggling platforms and drowning in emails. Meet DeskFirst.com, your all-in-one solution. Showcase available units with stunning virtual desktops, complete with virtual tours and floor plans. Empower your teams with real-time collaborative workspaces. Keep investors engaged with sleek, custom-branded portals and onboard residents faster with intuitive, personalized portals for everything from lease access service to service requests. Affordable, easy to use, built for multifamily. Go to DeskFirst.com to close deals faster, engage others better, and manage your assets smarter.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
We are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of managing managers, growing leaders, in a time of change. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and industry thought leader, the awesome Lori Snyder, Director of People Operations with Red Peak. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our other sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. Lori, let's talk a little bit about, in this final segment, before we transition into something else, about becoming a better manager to managers. What are some of the things that we can do?
So I think one of the things that we can do is insist on time for learning. You know, when we put, if learning's last in your organization, that will affect your outcome with building the bench, with helping your managers grow. So we have to insist on that time for learning, whether you block time for learning. Paul, I bet you block a little bit of time for learning and reflection.
Oh,
I bet you do in your day. And you know, we have to block a little bit of time for learning, whether it's 30 minutes, whether it's whatever it is, and then expect that of our teams. What did you learn this week? What are you learning about, right? And share that. And then the other thing I think we need to do is really think about managers where they're at their most vulnerable. And I think to some degree that can happen when we promote a new manager. You know, when we bring somebody in from the outside, we shower them with information, right? And we spend a lot of time for them, with them, acclimating them to the company and the processes and who everybody is, et cetera. But when we promote, we generally are like, well, they're ready, and we promote them into this position that is completely different than anything that they've done before. And then they sort of, you know, we throw a little life preserver over there and say, you know, have at it. You're going to be great, you know? And so I think we need to really focus on re-onboarding. And so at Red Peak, we are starting a program in which we actually assign a mentor to anyone who is promoted, and we work to re-onboard them in the role of that manager. In addition to that, anytime there's a gap, so for example, we have a manager who's going to be going out on family leave. And by the time they come back, because things change so fast right now, by the time they come back, it might not be the same job even, right? Because things are changing so fast. So what we really are focusing on doing there is spending a good deal of time when that person comes back in, re-onboarding them and re-acclimating them to the company and their community, et cetera. And I think that will help a lot because I think there's some assumptions we make about people, and it's hard to take it all in. So let's make it easy to take in. So those are the two things. I think also there's this thing that Patty Wood shared in our apartmentalized session at NAA that was fabulous. It's called the Unstuck Box. And it's a great little box. You can get it on Amazon. It's called Unstuck. And it basically offers questions for different areas of professional growth. So that if they're icebreaker questions. So if you're the kind of supervisor that's like, I never know what to say. It's like if you're walking into your sites and asking people how it's going, that's not real effective. Because they're just going to say fine. Right?
Yeah.
So this box offers lots of questions to help you actually inspire some really good conversation about communication, coaching, growth, et cetera. So that would be what I would start with.
Those are great ideas. And, you know, the re-onboarding, you know, while you were describing that, I'm thinking to myself, well, what a great idea, because, you know, typically when someone starts in a position, they get their onboarding. And then as they work through over the years, they get a promotion. They basically say, okay, here's your promotion. Go do it. That re-onboarding is such a great idea to have somebody be able to really kind of onboard them just like they were starting new.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, and, you know, everybody's at different areas, right, in their growth. So when somebody is promoted, I think we make a lot of assumptions about what people know.
Yeah,
and exactly. Many times, depending on their role or what, maybe they weren't even in that software program. Right. So, and the thing is with people, when they get promoted, they don't want to say they don't know.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
Right. They don't want to say they don't know. So they're going to pretend they do, but they don't know. So I think re-onboarding is really important.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned something earlier about part of what you guys do is that you have them go get education at the local apartment association and so forth. I've had so many people over the years tell me that they wish their companies would allow them to get involved in the associations in their markets.
I think it's super important because at some time in their career, they need to be able to reach out to fellow members of their tribe and say, how do you handle that over here, over there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, or what do you think? This is the situation. And so I think it's really important that you get out of your bubble.
Exactly.
And that you have people in other places that you can say, okay, we got this situation and I'm not sure how to handle it. How might you handle it? You're in the same role as I am in a different company.
Yeah. And when I've asked people, when they said that their companies won't allow them to get involved, I'll say, do you know why? Do they give you a reason? And I've heard reasons from, well, you have too much to do at your job. You know, you don't need to be doing something outside of that. We need you here. Or they'll say that their company may not admit it, but they're afraid that if they go get involved, they'll get poached by another company. So how do you respond to something
just so
like
sad.
That?
That's so sad. Yeah. If they're going to get poached by another company, they're not happy at yours.
Exactly.
So, I mean, my job is to make sure that they're growing and they're happy at Red Peak, right? And that I can send them anywhere. And I can feel confident. And if they want to go, they can go. Here's the thing. We don't own people. And we don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, people are going to go. I work at a smaller organization. We have 125 committed people. We have 3,000 apartments only in Colorado. And I love that because we own and operate, right? But does that mean I'm going to be able to, to provide so much growth? You know, somebody can stay their whole career here? No. My goal is that they come, they learn. If they need to, they go grow somewhere else, and then they come back.
Yeah.
Because then they've grown, and they know more, right?
That's exactly right. Well, I'll tell you what, we could talk about this topic for another two or three segments, but I want to transition. I always like to ask our guests, Tell us a little bit about your journey into multifamily. How did you get in the industry? Also, tell us what's going on at Red Peak right now. And if someone wants to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Sure. So I have to laugh because my first job out of college, you will just love this. I worked at a radio station.
Oh, wow.
I was so excited to be on your radio show. So I worked at a little AM radio station. I sold AM radio. So I sold air is basically what I sold. And that got tiring after a while. And so I ended up moving to Colorado from Wisconsin. And I decided that I thought leasing would be very glamorous. And I started leasing apartments at Lincoln Property Company. And from there, the story goes, right? And I had such great mentors. I was able to work into director roles and own my own company for 15 years and start companies. And so I've had just such a great storied career. And 10 years ago, I came back to Red Peak, who they had been my clients. And I decided, you know, it's time to go in-house, roll up my sleeves and work with a team all day long, every day again, because I feel like I was missing that piece where I could see the results of what I thought would be right.
Yeah.
Make sense?
It does.
And so I've been there ever since. And if somebody wants to reach me, I'm always happy to share. I love doing coffee with colleagues. That's my new thing this year in my way of expanding my tribe. So if you're in Colorado, I'll do coffee with you. And if not, I'll do coffee virtually. But my email address is lsnider, S-N-I-D-E-R, Snider with an I, not a Y, at redpeak.com. And I will always share whatever y'all need, right? That's what we're in this business for.
Yeah. In our last minute or so, tell us a little bit about what Red Peak and what you guys are looking for.
So we are right now, we are busy. It's high summer, right? Mm-hmm. And but I am actually looking for a community manager right now. So if somebody's interested, email me and I'm happy to talk to you about it. And I would love to have you come join us. We have a great group of people here and our culture is pretty much second to none. And, you know, we've had accolades for our culture, et cetera. So we're really excited about that. So if you're coming to Denver, you want to live in Colorado, call me, okay?
All right, Lori, thank you so much for being on the show. We're going to have you back again. You did, just like Carrie Rice, you brought the receipts with you today. So thank you so much for doing that.
Well, it was so much fun. And, you know, it just takes me back to my first job when I was, you know.
That's funny.
At the radio station. So,
yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
We'll be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.